Today on the DML News Podcast, Donald J. Trump faces a biased court. We're going to get into the details of how it is that Bragg is trying to lie to people and get away with it and putting the best president of our lifetime in jail. Also, we've gotten a report that the Funk's a report given by the government and how many people are actually unemployed in this country. And of course, we're going to cover the craziness in the pro-Palestinian march to madness, as far as I'm concerned, what's happening in New York and around the country. We have videos, we have analysis, and it is all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Across from me is my son, Dennis. Behind the controls is my son, Ryan. We are a family-based business, and we appreciate you being with us. In case you don't know, I put this out at the beginning of every show, so I'll keep it quiet and silent for the sake of I don't want to upset the people at Facebook. But we're going to be talking about how Facebook gets involved in elections and how they want to make sure that Donald J. Trump is never going to win again. So because of that, we only give you half the show here on Facebook, half the show on YouTube, and half the show on Apple Podcasts, because they're all radical lefties, and we use them as a platform to bring you over to the real platform you should be on, which is Team DML. You can get to Team DML by going to teamdml.com via your desktop, laptop, tablet, or you could download the DML News app for free from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, and you could go to tab 5 on that app, which is called Interact. You hit Team DML memberships. You could join a team of thousands of people who, like you, believe that this country is in trouble, and like you, want to express themselves without feeling like they'll be censored from these social media losers. So with that being said, we're going to dive right into the show. We're going to give you the first half of it, and then the second half, we're going to go on the Team DML website. Dennis, let's start off real quick, just because I think it's important that we don't lose focus on the biggest issue in this country, which is immigration right now. Tell us about a report that we highlighted on the DML News app regarding the jobs numbers and how the information is tainted.
Right. So the U.S. unemployment rate would be higher if the government properly accounted for the recent surge in illegal immigration, according to a new analysis note from Goldman Sachs. The Goldman strategist, led by Chief Economic Jan Hatzius, projected the immigration spike has actually increased the American labor force by about 1.1 million and household employment by 1 million. When accounting for those figures, they found the unemployment rate in March would increase to 3.9% from the previously reported 3.8% figure. The report explains that when immigration numbers are added into the data, the report changes. The Labor Department based their monthly report on two surveys. One survey gathers data from businesses and government agencies, and the other survey gathers data from households. Companies are not required to report immigration status when they submit employment data, which has fueled discrepancies between the two reports, the Goldman Sachs analysis explains.
So let's put that into the most layman terms possible. Here's the deal. Your children, maybe even you, maybe your grandchildren, are not getting the jobs that they should be getting. They are not getting the wages that they could be getting, all because Joe Biden and the crazy left are allowing our borders to be left wide open, and anything and everything and everyone is allowed to come through. It doesn't matter what disease you carry, doesn't matter what job you're going to take, it doesn't matter if you have ugliness in your mind in terms of what you're going to try to do to this country from a terrorist standpoint. And of course, by the way, if you've got any fentanyl, come on in. All of your safety, all of your finances, all of your health, all of your jobs, they're all being put at risk for the Biden administration to try to garnish as many fake votes as they can. And in the process, the businesses in this country are going to be able to hire cheap labor and put more money into their pocket. That's why we are proud to say we do not hire any illegal aliens. I never have. I never will. If you can't make it on a labor, American labor, then you really don't have a good business to begin with. And the fact that the government is playing cover for this entire thing, trying to mislead voters into believing that the economy is well and that all this employment stuff is great, and we've never seen so many great numbers from Joe Biden. My ass. What we're seeing is we're seeing an illegal alien invasion in this country, and it is slowly destroying everything from within. That's really the truth of it, is it not, Dennis?
Look, it is. I mean, it kind of pisses me off every time you see them try to spin the story of like, oh my gosh, look at all these jobs we've created. And obviously we're touching the illegal immigration aspect, but there was also the aspect of some of those jobs were lost during the pandemic and then just kind of regained. So, you know, it's always a fabrication story that they're trying to push. And it's just, it's ridiculous at this point.
Well, actually what we could do is add injury to insult. So what winds up happening is that Mr. Jones, you know, the white guy from down the block who has been working at the deli for 25 years, slicing the steaks, slicing the roast beef, slicing the bologna, slicing the ham. Everybody knows him. Good old guy. You know, says, hey, you know, just simple life of working in a delicatessen. Well, he lost his job during COVID. And now he was replaced with some dude that came through the border illegally who doesn't speak a lick of English, but works for a lesser dollar amount at that same delicatessen. So not only did Mr. Jones lose his job, but Joe Biden counted it as a new job created for a newcomer, really, when it wasn't. It was just a replacement job because of one that was lost for stupidity during the COVID era. Now, with that said, there's a major reason why the Democrats don't want Donald J. Trump to become the president of the United States, because they know that Donald J. Trump will take many different actions at the very beginning, like putting back into place his orders, his executive orders that Joe Biden eviscerated when he came in. And basically it would come down to, we would secure the border. We would secure the border and we'd have mass deportations. The left doesn't want that. The left can't have that. If they're going to change the voting block in this country, if they're going to change the greatness of this country into something that is mediocre, we need third worlders in here. We need to make the mentality, we need to make the geography, we need to make everything third world. And that is what the country is turning into slowly but surely. We're going to be talking about what's going on in these college protests, especially with Columbia and Barnard College in New York, and how it is that it's getting out of control. And I'm going to give my two cents on who is driving this. But let's turn to Trump for one moment. The idea that any person who is of the right persuasion can get a fair trial in New York is crazy to begin with. But then when you take the most recognizable name in all of the world, which is Donald J. Trump at this point, I argue you to say somebody different. We are watching the third world court system infiltrate the court system of New York, because that's what this is. Trump is guilty on day one, and they haven't even spoke anything. I want to hear your take on this, and then I want to read a portion of an op-ed that was written by Gregory Jarrett in Fox News, which really gives an idea of what Alvin Bragg is trying to pull off and what he very may well be able to pull off, Dennis.
Totally. Look, it's kangaroo court style. It's just unfair. Obviously, you know, Trump was able to kind of prevent some of the issues that he was dealing with his other trial by posting the bond regarding the whole real estate issue with Letitia James. But now we're here with Alvin Bragg's case, which is reliant on a jury, and it's just kind of insanity. And that's what Greg Jarrett's op-ed is really focused on. So do you want me to start reading?
I'll go with it. I mean, remember, you know, the whole thing about the valuations that Trump put on his buildings, which is standard practice, and there has no victim.
Plenty.
That's a civil suit. What we're looking at now is criminal. So it's one thing to go rape and steal from Trump's pocket. It's another thing to try to put him behind bars. Mm-hmm. So here's what Gregory Jarrett writes, and I think it's fantastically positioned here. Hocus pocus is a meaningless distraction or illusion that is intended to fool. That neatly summarizes District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case against Donald Trump. The DA hopes to snooker a Manhattan jury into convicting the former president with a bag of legal tricks. In most courtrooms, the chicanery would never work. But in this Trump-hating venue, most important sentence there, The defendant's jury of purported peers are likely predisposed to accept magic for magic's sake. They may want to believe there's no white rabbit behind Bragg's back, despite the pink ears peeking around his coat. The first sleight of hand happened the moment the lead prosecutor addressed jurors during opening statements on Monday. Assistant DA Matthew Colangelo, formerly Joe Biden's number three official at the Justice Department, by the way, told the panel, quote, "This case is about a criminal conspiracy." Really? When, then, is Trump not charged? Why then is Trump not charged with that? Why isn't he charged with conspiracy? Even though Colangelo reportedly accused the repeatedly accused the defendant of participating in a criminal conspiracy, the word conspiracy itself can be found nowhere in Bragg's indictment. It's not there because there was no criminal conspiracy, but that didn't stop the prosecutor from deceiving the jury by arguing about an uncharged crime. Like a skilled magician, he hopes his pretense will fool them. Not content with one canard, Colangelo slipped another one from his sleeve. More than once, he accused Trump of election fraud, conveniently ignoring the fact that the Federal Election Commission examined Trump's payments to porn star Stormy Daniels and determined there was no fraud because the money conferred did not qualify as a campaign donation. Federal prosecutors who investigated reached the same conclusion. So did Bragg's predecessor, who was in his spot before that, and said there was no crime. Undeterred, Colangelo used pejorative terms to portray the Daniels cash as a nefarious scheme without bothering to mention that such non-disclosure agreements are perfectly legal and routine. Also, lawful and quite common was the alleged catch-and-kill device used by the tabloid National Enquirer. On Trump's behalf, it bought the rights to Stormy Daniels' story about her supposed relationship with Trump, but declined to publish it. Contractually, it had every right to do that. So in other words, for those of you who don't understand, National Enquirer bought the rights to the Stormy Daniels story with regard to her alleged affair with Trump. They buy the story and then they kill it, meaning they never run it and nobody else can because they bought the rights to it. None of this stopped the prosecutor from informing the jury that all of this constitutes an illegal conspiracy to undermine a presidential election. Like most allusions, it seems plausible on the surface. But wait, let's check the indictment again. Every single one of the 34 charges against Trump took place in 2017. You'll note that this is after the 2016 election. It's quite the magic trick to have committed crimes before they allegedly occurred. Colangelo must be new to politics or a neophyte reader of history. He's under the mistaken impression that campaigns never try to bury negative stories or promote positive ones. In truth, it's been going on for more than two centuries. This prompted the defense in its opening statement to warn the jury, "I have a spoiler alert. There is nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy." So I botched that up a little bit, but at the end of the day, what the judge is allowing the lawyers, the prosecutors to do is conjure up things that have already been proven to be non-existent by the federal government. He is trying to create a storyline that works in reverse to how it really took place. And he is trying to take things that are legal and present them as illegal wrongdoings. This case should have been thrown out on the first day by that biased immigrant judge whose daughter is an operative for the Democrat Party. But in third world systems, Dennis, this is allowed to happen. And thus, why the president of the United States is going to be able to, and I'm talking about Joe Biden, disgustingly, is going to be able to go out and campaign to all the swing states while Donald J. Trump is sitting in a New York courtroom defending himself against magic tricks.
You know, this is more for a question for you. Do you think it would have been more beneficial for Trump to have picked his VP sooner so that his vice president, let's say in a magic world, it was a DeSantis or just someone like him, so that they can continue a campaign run on his behalf while he's locked up? I mean, look, he doesn't really need to be there presently to still have, obviously, his supporters. I mean, it's a bummer we don't see him on the trail, obviously, but we know who we're voting for. But for those, you know, critical swing states that may say, hey, he's wrapped up in courts, but we know Biden is just an absolute awful president. Do you think maybe having that choice selected would have been beneficial to have someone on the campaign trail for his behalf?
You know, this is going to sound like you and I planned that question. I had no idea you were going to ask that question.
No, I was just kind of running through my mind because, look, I mean, it's just.
Yeah, no, let me answer you because it's a great question. Today, after this program, we're going to wind up having a family business meeting, which we do all the time. And one of the things I'm going to be introducing to my sons is we are going to launch a newsletter. It's simple in its face, but we are going to launch a newsletter. And the crux of that newsletter, I mean, I do believe it will carry on to be a very popular newsletter, but the crux of that newsletter for the next 6 months is going to be almost as if it is an arm of Donald J. Trump's candidacy and his campaigning. If Trump can't be out there campaigning, we have to do it for him. And, you know, in the old days, I used to do the walk and talks, and I hate to use the word magic because I just use it. It was a magical thing. It was simple in its core, but it was informative like nothing else. It helped rise. I created Diamond and Silk out of that. Remember how they started stumping for Trump? And I mean, to this day, one of the prized emails that I have is from the Trump Organization saying, thank you so much for what you did. And so we need to create a system to where if Trump can't be out there doing it, well, we're doing it for him by things of just reminding people what it was that the Trump presidency brought to this country versus what is being brought by Biden. Because right now, everybody's just focusing in on Trump in a chair behind a defense desk. And it's just, it's an abomination that this is being allowed to happen. So what do we do as a people who believe in Trump and Make America Great Again and the Constitution and things of that nature? We have to be his voice. And so that's one of the things we're going to focus on heavily. For those of you who are not Team DML, I mean, this is a great time for a commercial. Please download the DML News app because you may be catching me today on Facebook, but you know the algorithm is set to where you may not see me again for another 6 months. I read those comments all the time, Dennis. I've been reading them. I just did a Facebook Live the other day with your mother and I just watching the sunset. People are like, I haven't seen you in 2 years. Well, that's because of what Facebook does. That's what they do. They influence. They try to influence negatively how these elections go. In fact, that's the story we should bring up now, Dennis. There is a study that was just conducted. We ran this on our app, if I'm not mistaken, about how Facebook, I think it was 30 plus times, has tried to interfere with elections. Can you give the details on that?
Yes, so this is originally from Fox News. Facebook has interfered with elections in the U.S. at least 39 times since 2008. And this is coming from a study by the Media Research Center.
Okay.
Last month, MRC Free Speech America researchers found that Google interfered with elections in the United States 41 times over the last 16 years. The team then set its sights onto Facebook and concluded that although Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg appears to believe in free speech, his company's actions prove otherwise. So here's a statement from MRC founder and president Brent Bozell. Like Google, Facebook has an extensive history of interfering in U.S. elections, but it's not completely fair to compare the two companies. I believe some part of Mark Zuckerberg believes in free speech. Google management clearly does not. But regardless of what Mr. Zuckerberg believes, His company's policies and practices have resulted in a great deal of censorship that always seems to target the same side of the political spectrum, and it needs to stop. MRC Free Speech America VP Dan Schrider and editor Gabrielle Parisot, who conducted the study, wrote a 10,000-word breakdown of the findings. Here's a quote from their study. Zuckerberg and his company have a complicated relationship with free speech. The Meta CEO has repeatedly made decisive statements in support of freedom of speech that have condemned the fact-checking, big tech election interference, and political censorship. And yet, his platform participates in all three. It seems Meta, now Facebook's parent company, has consistently found itself caught between doing the bidding of the left, which claims to prioritize keeping the internet free from so-called misinformation at all costs, and placating the right, which prioritizes freedom of speech as the cornerstone of representational democracy. Now, you know, they have obviously a 10,000-page study here.
If you could do me a favor, while I say a couple of things, if you could just see if they give one bullet point in there about how it is that Facebook did actually interfere, that would be a helpful thing. Yep. But so while you're looking at that, let me express some of the things that I have witnessed firsthand. You have probably witnessed them yourself if you're using Facebook. I've talked about this before, and it's sort of sickening. I can go on Facebook right now and say, it is a beautiful Tuesday. May God bless us all. What are you guys doing on this Tuesday? Tell me in the comments section. I can wind up receiving 2,000 comments. I probably would receive 2,000 comments on that very, very, very easy, loosey-goosey subject. It's Tuesday. It's nice. What are you doing? I could then post a picture of my wife and I on my boat a few hours from now, looking at the sunset and saying, what do you think is the greatest time of day? Share this picture if you think sunsets are the best part of the day. I may get 500 shares and 2,000 comments. But if on election Tuesday, I write, I'm going out today to vote for Trump because he is the guy who could make America great again, I am not going to get more than 4 or 5 comments. I'm going to get maybe 2 or 3 shares. Although I have the freedom of speech, I don't have the freedom of reach. So what they will do is they will restrict me from reaching anybody. Now, keep in mind, I don't have a crowd on Facebook that's well over 1 million people because I always post great sunsets and I've got this incredible morning wisdom to share. They're with me because I am a person who is known to be accommodator when it comes to politics and news. I am right of the aisle. I'm strictly conservative and conservative only. So I've built my following on that. And yet, when I put something up like Tuesday morning, gonna go vote for Trump today, or later on in the day, have me with my arm wrapped around Trump in a picture, those two posts are going to get 1/1,000th of reach and share as the two meaningless picture posts that I did the Tuesday before. And that's the way that Facebook wants it. They don't want our political side of the equation to be part of the equation. So they eliminate it, not by cutting me down, because that would be, I'd be able to argue you're taking away my freedom of speech. But what they do is they kill the freedom of reach. Their algorithm is set to silence me without turning me off.
Yes. And there's some examples listed here. They've done it to others. Facebook censored 2024 presidential candidates, obviously Trump, but also Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They did it to 2022 Senate and congressional candidates. In 2021, they deleted Virginia gubernatorial candidate Amanda Chase's account, and it cranked up its censorship apparatus with special focus on Donald Trump and shuttered his political advertising 1 week before the election in 2020. Now, they also wrote that Facebook censored various pro-life candidates, including Marsha Blackburn, who's a Republican from Tennessee, and they suspended numerous pro-Trump pages and pro-Bernie Sanders groups. They also artificially elevated liberal news in its trending news section while blacklisting popular conservatives like Ted Cruz. They also suspended a veterans pack for a meme drawing attention to the attack on Benghazi, which concluded was a benefit to then-President Obama.
Let's take a look at something that cannot be over overlooked. I'll use that word. When you take a deep dive into who Google, Apple, and Facebook is hiring, they're hiring two people by and large. Now, I don't know how this gets past their vetting process. There must be something within that vetting process. I wish, who's the guy who does all the undercover videos?
James O'Keefe.
Yeah, I'd love to see James O'Keefe put somebody undercover to go through the hiring process at Facebook or Google. Mm. That would be damn interesting.
Yeah.
With that in mind, they hire liberals and they hire foreigners. And so when you look at those two, liberals and foreigners, both of them are going to wind up becoming anti-conservative, anti-America as we know it. So Zuckerberg can sit up there all day long in his big perch collecting all of his stock options and say that we are for free speech. But the people who are blocking and tackling on the ground, the people who are actually operating Facebook, are keeping people like you and I on the sidelines. Now, to make it even worse, this is no longer a human play. This is a play of technology. I just wound up getting a notification from Facebook last week that their technology, and they write it, our technology has identified your content as being content that goes against our policies. So think about that. I'm not even going against Mohammed from Pakistan. I'm no longer going from Susie Q from San Francisco. I'm going against an AI system that has been programmed by far left and foreign people. So there's no chance that we win this game. You got to speak in pig Latin in order to be able to succeed, or you do what we do, where we have to take the second half of the show, where we're really going to start hard, you know, hitting hard and giving the facts, and we've got to put it off on something that's off Facebook. Because if you do it the other way, you are going to be shut down and silenced, where somebody like me, who has 1.5 million people, I'll reach the equivalent of 500. And that's all driven by AI systems. And that is one of the things we should talk about a little bit more often on this show, is how the future of this country is going to be based on an AI backbone. And that AI backbone is going to be robust, but it is never going to be built from an equal standpoint of left and right. Remember, you need two wings to fly, not one. And that, therefore, AI is so dangerous because it's built on the backbone of liberalism, radicalization, and foreign influence. And therefore, we're in a lot of trouble if we don't have other outlets like Team DML. Now, with that being said, we are going to go into a conversation that we can't have here on Facebook, because if you look at who it is that I just told you is working at these places, YouTube, you know, YouTube is Google, and Apple, I'm about to go into deep conversation with my boys here about Hamas, Palestine, Israel. I'm going to show videos. We're going to show disgusting things. And we're going to talk about what it is that ultimately certain groups are trying to do to this country. I'm not even going to list them by name because the AI would pick it up. So to those of you who are on Facebook and Apple and Google, we have to say goodbye now. If you want to come over to us, go to teamdml.com, become a member for as little as $2.50 a month. You could download the DML News app for free. If you do, you'll be happy, because then you'll never miss out, especially when we announce next week about our new newsletter coming up. So with that being said, we have to say goodbye, but we're going to say goodbye with a video. For those of you who are Team DML, we'll pick up after the video is over. For those of you who are not Team DML, this is where it's going to end. Alec Baldwin. I have a long, bad history with Alec Baldwin. I can't stand him. I won't use the word hate, but he is as close to hate as I can get to one person. If I had the opportunity to legally brawl him, I would eliminate him from almost every part of himself, because I would not be able to contain the anger that wants to come out based on my interactions with him. With that said, what happens to him by a pro-Palestinian protester who gets into his face and bothers him, he can't even just get himself a simple cup of coffee. As much as I despise him, I support him what he does at the end of this video. So take a look at it. Team DML, we'll catch you on the other side. Those of you who are not Team DML, God bless you for being with us this far into it. We appreciate it in a big way, and hopefully we'll be able to see you tomorrow. Ryan, play the video.
Ali, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
Sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a fucking criminal. Come on, Alec, just say Free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Fuck Israel, fuck Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Could you do me one quick favor?
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.